Chapter 27. Levi had taken off his coat and waistcoat, and was fanning himself with his hat. He was sitting up on the bag he had brought from the mill, and which he had spread out upon the sand. His companion sat facing him. The moon shone full upon him, and Hiram knew him instantly. He was the same burly, foreign-looking ruffian who had come with the little man to the mill that night to see Levi. He also had his hat off, and was wiping his forehead and face with a red handkerchief. Beside him lay the bundle of tools he had brought, a couple of shovels, a piece of rope, and a long, sharp iron rod. The two men were talking together, but Hiram could not understand what they said, for they spoke in the same foreign language that they had before used. But he could see his stepbrother point with his finger, now to the dead tree and now to the steep, white face of the opposite side of the bowl-like hollow. At last, having apparently rested themselves, the conference, if conference it was, came to an end, and Levi led the way, the other following, to the dead pine tree. Here he stopped and began searching, as though for some mark. Then, having found that which he looked for, he drew a tape line and a large brass pocket compass from his pocket. He gave one end of the tape line to his companion, holding the other with his thumb pressed upon a particular part of the tree. Taking his bearings by the compass, he gave now and then some orders to the other, who moved a little to the left or the right as he bade. At last he gave a word of command, and, thereupon, his companion drew a wooden peg from his pocket, and thrust it into the sand. From this peg as a base they again measured, taking bearings by the compass, and again drove a peg. For a third time they repeated their measurements and then, at last, seemed to have reached the point which they aimed for. Here Levi marked a cross with his heel upon the sand. His companion brought him the pointed iron rod which lay beside the shovels, and then stood watching as Levi thrust it deep into the sand, again and again, as though sounding for some object below. It was some while before he found that for which he was seeking, but at last the rod struck with a jar upon some hard object below. After making sure of success by one or two additional taps with the rod, Levi left it remaining where it stood, brushing the sand from his hands. "Now fetch the shovels, Pedro," said he, speaking for the first time in English. The two men were busy for a long while, shoveling away the sand. The object for which they were seeking lay buried some 6 feet deep, and the work was heavy and laborious, the shifting sand sliding back, again and again, into the hole. But at last the blade of one of the shovels struck upon some hard substance and Levi stooped and brushed away the sand with the palm of his hand. Levi's companion climbed out of the hole which they had dug, and tossed the rope which he had brought with the shovels down to the other. Levi made it fast to some object below, and then himself mounted to the level of the sand above. Pulling together, the two drew up from the hole a heavy iron-bound box, nearly 3 feet long and a foot wide and deep. Levi's companion stooped, and began untying the rope which had been lashed to a ring in the lid. What next happened suddenly, swiftly, terribly. Levi drew back a single step, and shot one quick, keen look to right and to left. He passed his hand rapidly behind his back, and the next moment Hiram saw the moonlight gleam upon the long, sharp, keen blade of a knife. Levi raised his arm. Other arose from bending over the chest. He struck, and struck again, two swift, powerful blows. Hiram saw the blade drive, clean and sharp, into the back, and heard the hilt strike with a dull thud against the ribs, once, twice. The burly, black-bearded wretch gave a shrill, terrible cry and fell staggering back. Then, in an instant, with another cry, he was up and clutched Levi with a clutch of despair by the throat and by the arm. Then followed a struggle, short, terrible, silent. Sound was heard but the deep, panting breath and the scuffling of feet in the sand, upon which there now poured and dabbled a dark purple stream. But it was a one-sided struggle, and lasted only for a second or two. Levi wrenched his arm loose from the wounded man's grasp, tearing his shirt sleeve from the wrist to the shoulder as he did so. Again and again the cruel knife was lifted, and again it fell, now no longer bright, but stained with red. Then, suddenly, all was over. Levi's companion dropped to the sand without a sound, like a bundle of rags. For a moment he lay limp and inert. Then one shuddering spasm passed over him, and he lay silent and still, with his face half buried in the sand. Levi, with the knife still gripped tight in his hand, stood leaning over his victim, looking down upon his body. His shirt and hand, and even his naked arm, were stained and blotched with blood. The moon lit up his face, and it was the face of a devil from hell. At last he gave himself a shake, stooped and wiped his knife and hand and arm upon the loose petticoat breeches of the dead man. He thrust his knife back into its sheath, drew a key from his pocket, and unlocked the chest. In the moonlight Hiram could see that it was filled mostly with paper and leather bags, full, apparently, of money. All through this awful struggle and its awful ending Hiram lay, dumb and motionless, upon the crest of the sand hill, looking with a horrid fascination upon the death struggle in the pit below. Now Hiram arose, cursed as he did so, but Levi was too intent in turning over the contents of the chest to notice the slight sound. Hiram's face was ghastly pale and drawn. For one moment he opened his lips, as though to speak, but no word came. So, white, silent, he stood for a few seconds, rather like a statue than a living man. Then, suddenly, his eyes fell upon the bag, which Levi had brought with him, no doubt, to carry back the treasure for which he and his companion were in search, and which still lay spread out on the sand, where it had been flung. Then, as though a thought had suddenly flashed upon him, his whole expression changed, his lips closed tightly together, as though fearing an involuntary sound might escape, and the haggard look dissolved from his face. Cautiously, slowly, he stepped over the edge of the sand hill, and down the slanting face. His coming was as silent as death, for his feet made no noise as he sank ankle deep in the yielding surface. So, stealthily, step by step, he descended, reached the bag, lifted it silently. Levi, still bending over the chest and searching through the papers within, was not 4 feet away. Hiram raised the bag in his hands. He must have made some slight rustle as he did so, for suddenly Levi half turned his head. But he was one instant too late. In a flash the bag was over his head, shoulders, arms, body. Then came another struggle, as fierce, as silent, as desperate as that other, and as short. Wiry, tough, and strong as he was, with a lean, sinewy, nervous vigor, fighting desperately for his life as he was, Levi had no chance against the ponderous strength of his stepbrother. In any case, the struggle could not have lasted long. As it was, Levi stumbled backward over the body of his dead mate and fell, with Hiram upon him. Maybe he was stunned by the fall. Maybe he felt the hopelessness of resistance, for he lay quite still while Hiram, kneeling upon him, drew the rope from the ring of the chest, and, without uttering a word, bound it tightly around both the bag and the captive within, knotting it again, and drawing it tight. Only once was a word spoken. "If you'll let go," said a muffled voice from the bag, "I'll give you £5,000, it's in that there box." Hiram answered never a word, but continued knotting the rope and drawing it tight. The Book of Pirates,